We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Today we have the head man himself, that is Jim Harbaugh, head football coach at the University of Michigan, talking about spring ball, what's going to happen this summer, and a little bit of what he expects to happen in the fall. We'll get to all of that with Coach Harbaugh in just a few minutes on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
Jay just continues to play well. Just continual progress, you know, from Kate. He had a great spring. So super excited for Kate. He took what he did last fall in games and continue to build on it on a daily basis.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
Welcome back, friends, and I'm going to take care of a little business before we get to the conversation that I had with Jim Harbaugh. He'll be coming up in just a few minutes. Brian Bush is going to join me on the back end as we break down what we hear from Coach Harbaugh, but in regards to the business, Conquering Heroes podcast came out on Tuesday. My guest, Adam Steinberg, men's tennis coach. And he took me through his season as well as a quick look ahead to what they face in the Big Ten tennis tournament that is going to be taking place this coming weekend. So if you get a chance, go back and listen to that. Defend the Block with Brian Bush came out yesterday, and that was with Sean D. Brown Jr., who has signed with an agent, is entering the NBA draft, and get a chance to listen to his year at the University of Michigan and what his prospects are moving forward. So I'm looking forward to that. Last week's In the Trenches was a breakdown of the NFL draft, which if you have dug a hole and stuck your head in it, you will now be learning that it is tonight. The NFL draft, Quiddy Pay, Jalen Mayfield, Nico Collins, Ambry Thomas, a lot of individuals from the University of Michigan will be taken throughout this coming weekend. Just as a reminder, tonight at 8 o'clock, the first round of the NFL draft. On Friday, rounds 2 and 3, and then on Saturdays, rounds 4 through 7 will take place. And then after that, we'll find out who will be undrafted and which teams they signed with. So stay tuned, because in the coming weeks, we'll get a chance to talk to some of those guys and listen to what they have to say about their experience, their expectations moving forward, as well as give you the news in regards to who was undrafted and where they ended up signing. So you can find all of those podcasts on the MGO Blue podcast with John Jansen page. But without further ado, we're going to get right to it. And this is the conversation that I had this week with head football coach Jim Harbaugh. I'm now joined by Michigan's head football coach Jim Harbaugh. It's a pleasure to have you, Coach. Thanks for joining us. How have things been since the end of spring ball for you?
Been going good, John. Been hitting the weight room, and continued to watch the tape, have meetings, and have been allowed walkthroughs as well. So been 2.5 weeks since spring ball ended, and continuing to ascend. The team is really taking the things that they learned and trying to put on strength and conditioning as well.
We had talked to, or I had a chance to talk to your coaches, as well as a lot of the players. And one of the things that they all talked about was the increased level of energy around the building at practice. Was that noticeably different to you this spring football session?
Yeah. I mean, probably the most noticeable thing was, just what we missed in not having a spring last year, not having that, that time together, guys to, work on their craft, improve their game, have the full, winter cycle, have the full spring cycle. And, the energy has been really good, coaching wise, player wise, it's been noticeable to me and everybody.
I know this year you started spring practice sooner than typical, but is that something that you look at and say, you know what, that was a net benefit? We're gonna take a look at that and maybe continue that moving forward.
Could be. I mean, that was the circumstance. Didn't wanted to start it early. Anticipated there might be a pause in the middle of spring ball, which ended up there was, and allowed us, starting earlier, gave us that, that flexibility and really ended about the same time, that we would have, but, it was a good thing. Guys have stayed engaged and now picking up on a lot of that, the winter cycle was a little shorter in the weight room, but that's all been, evened out in the last 3 weeks.
You added a lot of new faces to the coaching staff. Mike McDonald as your defensive coordinator, Mo Linguist, George Hilo, a number of guys. And then right before, obviously, spring ball started, you had the opportunity to add Matt Weiss. What did you see from this new coaching staff and the chemistry and how they came together during spring ball?
Yeah, all of our new coaches, and Ron Bellamy and Mike Hart and Mike and George Hilo, Matt Weiss, Mo Linguist. The one thing I would say is that, players listen to guys who know what they're talking about. And it was very apparent that, our players were listening to our coaches, our new coaches and the coaches, very engaged. Gaining their trust, the coaches did a great job of, and the players were trusting what they were telling them. They were seeing themselves, take those coaching points from the meeting room to the field and have success. That put an exclamation point on it for them that, these are coaches that know what they're doing and know what they're saying, and players are developing, under their guidance.
As I mentioned, Mike McDonald, new defensive coordinator. So new ideas, new thoughts, new way of doing things on that side of the ball. What are your expectations for the defense after you had a chance to see, 15 practices during spring ball from them?
Really good. We've got good players on defense. You see it gelling, you see it coming together where, players are, doing some different roles, based on the scheme, different positions, defensive ends that, now stand up outside backers. It fits them. I think they're excited about it and learning those new positions. But as I look at it across, we've got a defense that, is sound and good. Scheme is, they're fitting the players to the scheme and how their talents are going to be used. And it's good players. So, I think it's, it's process and it's a daily thing. But I see us being pretty darn good on defense.
Every year, you know, some players move on. Obviously, Cam McGrone is going to try his hand in the NFL. Carlo Kemp has moved on. Did you notice any of those young players that maybe didn't have the opportunity? They kept fighting for it, but now they do, whether it's a Chris Hinton, any number of linebackers that get a chance to step up. What did you see from some of the young players that excites you coming out of spring football?
Yeah, Taylor Upshaw, Mike Morris, David Ajabo, Gabe Newberg, Jalen Harrell, I mean, those are, and Braden McGregor, those are all players that were defensive ends who now are stand-up outside linebackers. It fits their ability, fits their talent, and I saw it make huge strides. And you talked about the energy. You talked about the fun of those guys. I mean, all young players, all ascending players that are in a new role that all really had good springs. So I mean, that's probably the best example. And there's guys like Mozzie Smith. You talk about just ascending, really, really doing well. Mozzie, Chris Hinton, Julius Welskoff, Chris Jenkins, Jess Spate, Joey George had a heck of a good spring. And Donovan Jeter, veteran guy, starting at the defensive tackle. So that interior defensive line is really, really coming along. As I said, Mozzie had a heck of a spring and so did Chris. And then the young players like Julius Welskoff, Jenkins, go along with Donovan Jeter. Feel like we're getting stouter in the middle as well.
One of the guys that had an opportunity to go and play in the NFL, Aiden Hutchinson, we know he suffered that injury. He was a little bit limited in spring ball, but what excited me was the fact that he made that decision to come back, for Michigan, for himself. When a player like that makes that decision and that commitment to put off his hopes and dreams and possibilities for another year to come back and play for you, play for Michigan, how does that make you feel? And what are your expectations for Aiden going into his fourth year?
Just unbelievable. And not just the decision to come back, John, but the decision to come back, all in. He did what he could in spring. He wasn't in any scrimmages, but he was doing individual. He was he was out there every day learning the new scheme and right now, I mean, physically, one or two top rated guy on the team, one, two, or three in that top three, just across all the key performance indicators. He has come back. Training at the highest level, all in, wants to be great for Michigan. He gathered the strength coaches up the last week, and he said, I had one request, and that request is that every time I come in this weight room, in this gym, that you wear me out, make me get my money's worth every time I come in here. There may be a day or two where I don't feel like it, but make sure I get my money's worth every time I come in here. So it's not just coming back, he's come back, full force. It's been a tremendous example of, leading by example and what he's doing. So it's really exciting.
Being around Michigan for as long as you have, as long as I have, we've seen guys do that. In terms of Aiden and his influence in his leadership amongst not just the defensive line, but really the entire team, when you hear that and you see that, how does that permeate throughout the rest of the team?
It's what you expect, what we've always seen here at Michigan. I go back to my days and think of the guys that were like that. I know names got to be popping in your head right now. I mean, truly talented players that had a work ethic that was extraordinary to go with it, to go with that talent. I mean, the talent, the effort were you know, at the elite level, both. So, I mean, that's anybody that's ever, you know, played at Michigan or had a teammate that, you know, was all in for the team and leading by example and doing everything in his power to, you know, get as good at football and have the rest of the team get as good at football and, you know, do everything right. That's Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, veteran leadership, seniors, juniors, upperclassmen, that's always been the way it is. And then, you know, you move over to the offensive side of things. Let's start with the offensive line. How did you see it gel, and how did you see him respond to a new voice in Sharon Moore?
Yeah, also, just before we leave the defense, Josh Ross also, you know, is that kind of class. I would put him there with, you know, up there with Aiden Hutchinson and Mike Barrett had an extremely good spring. Some real good young but linebackers came to the fore, Nikhail Green and Khalil Mullins, and then mid-year freshman junior Colson stood out. Jamon Green at corner, DJ Turner and Vince Gray battling for that other corner spot. DJ really had a great spring, took that coaching from Mo Lindquist and Mike McDonald, and he looks like he's put himself in a position to be a real factor, as I said, battling for that starting job. Dax Hill and Brad Hawkins, and another guys that Ben lead by example. Had extremely good springs, and then young safeties that really asserted themselves, R.J. Moten and Jordan Morant and Caden Colesar and Makari Page are all ascending as well on that defensive side. So, as I said, good players that you know are learning. They're you know, they're not a lot of talk, but it's really nobody's business. You know, they're that's how they're going about the business, you know, daily and weekly. So, been pleased with the defensive side.
It's exciting. It's exciting to hear. It's exciting to see, and we're definitely looking forward to seeing them take the field at fall camp in preparation for that Western Michigan game. But as I had mentioned, offensively, that offensive line got a lot of experience last year. Some injuries, you know, other guys getting an opportunity to get game experience. How have you seen them gel as a unit, and how have they responded to a new voice in Sharon Moore?
Yeah, so that offensive front, it's, you know, there's just a battle going on to, you know, to get to the five best, and that's going to continue, you know, post spring. It's going on now. It's going to continue through the summer and also into fall camp. But Ryan Hayes, Zach Zinter, Andrew Stuber, you know, they're guys that had that experience, that are very good players. Put an exclamation mark on that in the spring. I would call them, you know, three solid starters of the top five. And then, as you mentioned, I mean, there's a group of other guys there that have gotten experience, have started, have played in games that are battling for those next two spots, and how it configures. You know, configured with the best five being on the starting line, but Carson Barnhart, Trevor Keegan, Chuck Deliaga, all have played and started and had good springs. Andrew Vistardis, Nolan Rumler, Trente Jones, you know, three more guys that either have played a lot of football here or had really good springs. Nolan Rumler and Trente Jones. You know, both are in the mix. So all you know, there's six guys right there that are, you know, very, very in the mix for a chance to start and be one of those, be our top five. Younger guys like Greg Crippen got himself into the two deep after a really good spring. Just does everything right. Weight room, field, classroom. You know, he's so motivated. Reese Atterbury, really toward the end of spring, I'd say the last three, four practices, really asserted himself, got himself in the mix. Jeff Percy's got a lot of upside. And mid-year, Tristan Bounds, more developing, but you know, could see that he's going to be a good player as well. Something I really like about Raheem Anderson, also mid-year, you know, he's going to be in the mix. So, and a very, very good player, plays with a lot of energy and is very smart. So there's a big group. You know, I'd say, yeah, there's top tier of three guys that have really shown that they're going to be tremendous players for us. And then there's another six there that are, you know, just right on the verge and competing for those last two spots and players that are, you know, also fighting for that, for those two deep spots as well. So, Sharone's done a great job. He's got a lot of good guys to work with there.
How important, as you start to think about those, you know, the best five, the best combination of five, and you mentioned, you know, guys like Vistardis and Zach Zinter and, you know, Hayes, and that they're, you know, locked in those positions, but to have to find the two that are going to go with them, to have guys that can play multiple positions up front, how much value do you put on guys up front that can play not just right tackle, but maybe flip over to guard or play right guard, left tackle? How much do you put on that?
Well, a tremendous amount. I mean, there's so much flexibility to really find the five best because of the versatility of Zach Zinter and Andrew Stuber. Andrew can play both tackle or guard. Zach Zinter really could play tackle, guard, or center. But you've just focused him more on guard or center. There gives you all the flexibility you need. So, you know, to getting to the best five, it could be a guard, could be a tackle. You know, the best guard will emerge as one of those starters, and then also the best tackle has a chance to emerge if that's Barnhart or Trente Jones, and then Kostuber could play guard or tackle. So there is the flexibility because of those two players. Hayes is a tackle, true tackle, but ton of flexibility with Stuber and Zach Zinter because they're very versatile. Can play guard. Stoops, as I said, could play guard or tackle. Zach could play center or guard. So, we'll gives us the opportunity to get to our best five.
You've got another very talented running back room. Hassan Haskins, we saw him a lot last year, and we saw him obviously in the spring game. Blake Corum, we got a little taste of him last year, but you got a couple of guys that have some more talent that's been infused into that room, and Donovan Edwards and Tavier Dunlap. What are your expectations for that running back room and being able to, you know, divvy up the opportunities?
Yeah, I think Blake Corum, Hassan Haskins, they're two tremendous players, and that's where the bulk of the carries are gonna go. We're gonna lean heavily on those two players, and then Donovan Edwards, he's come in as a mid year and shown he'll play a lot. I mean, I love Donovan, and he can do just about anything. Be a home run hitter. Ball in his hand is exciting. and he catches the ball really well out of the backfield. Another real strength for him. He played in the state championship game in January, and he had a cast on, and then started spring ball, same cast on the thumb, and lo and behold, I mean, you look up and he's catching seven balls in practice. And he's doing that with a cast on his hand. So I mean, he's got some real talent, and you know, there's going to be exciting things that you're going to see in Donovan right out of his freshman year. But he's very much on track to do that. Tavi Dunlap is another mid-year freshman who bigger back, got the ability to be a real thumper. He made a lot of strides in the spring ball, you know, getting his pads down at the line of scrimmage and using that power that he possesses. And he also has speed as well. And you'll see him. So there's definitely a lot of excitement out of that room. Leon Franklin came off of an ACL, and had a really good spring, opened a lot of eyes. Danny Hughes, we know is a very talented player, a very good special team player. And Nico Tiberian did some good things. Lucas Andrighetto and Isaiah Gash were out for the spring, recovering from injury. But Lucas is one of our core special teams players and a very talented player. Missed all last season, but I think you'll see him contribute a lot as well. So it's a good room, exciting room.
I know you get asked this question all the time in regards to the quarterback position, but you've got some talent there. Obviously, we saw Cade McNamara come in last year in a triple overtime game at Rutgers and perform well, you know, and continue to perform well. Dan Vallari is continuing to develop, and a lot of expectations around J.J. McCarthy, his arrival on campus. How did you see those guys perform this spring?
Really good, really good. It's not a lot of experience, but Cade just continues to play well, and he just keeps it's just continual progress, you know, from Cade. He had a great spring, so super excited for Cade. He took what he did last fall in games and continue to build on a daily basis. Very confident, knows the system inside and out. It's been really fun working with him. Matt Weiss is doing a great job, and Cade's just he's a sponge for knowledge. Always trying to improve and add to what he's doing. JJ was terrific as a mid-year freshman, and got himself all the way up to number two. Dan Vallari, for those that saw the spring game, was really good, really effective. Excited about Dan. He was kind of looking at Dan in multiple ways, and throw out the name Taysom Hill, but that's we're gonna try to do some things like that with Dan Vallari, as a quarterback slash athlete that can really help our team. And I think you can do it. I don't like about Dan Vallari.
When you look at this offense, and we'll talk about the receivers in just a few minutes, but what are your expectations as a whole? And maybe this leads into the receivers because of today's college football, the need for explosive plays. Josh Gattis came in 2 years ago talking about speed and space. Where is this offense under the third-year offensive coordinator, Josh Gattis?
Yeah, the receivers, really popped. I think it's there. You talk about the playmaking ability and the talent and the effort to go along with it. Mike Sanders still had a tremendous spring, there every day making plays. Cornelius Johnson, big plays, a lot of them. every practice. I mean, he is really, he's honing to his game, and it's fun to watch. I think he's going to have a big year. Ronnie Bell, you know, consummate competitor and, you know, gamer. Those three are our top three guys. And then, behind them, Roman Wilson, I really think he would have had a big spring, but he was slowed by some soft tissue, injury, but love Roman, and have really high hopes for him. Very fast, tough, talent and the work ethic together. AJ Henning, another exciting player, as a slot receiver, but also is, really working on his return ability and, possible kick returner and punt returner and slot receiver and makes a bunch of plays. Andrell Anthony, made a play a day. He was making, I love Andrell, as a mid-year freshman. Again, you know, still should be probably in high school, but, you know, he's out here during 15 practices and every day making one to two big type of plays. Longer receiver that really runs well. I don't know what his 40 is. I mean, it's pretty darn good. He's fast, but really good game speed as well. And excited about that group. Christian Dixon did some really good things as well as a mid-year freshman. And a group of guys right behind them that had really good springs. Matt Torrey, Jake Thaw, Will Rolapp, Chris Bartholomew, Matt Harrison. You know, exciting group. And continue to grow. They continue to get the timing down with the quarterbacks. So feeling good about that group right now, John.
About a year ago, when the pandemic first hit and everything was put on hold, you came out with an open letter to football and football fans. And one of the things in the open letter revolved around, you know, player movement and empowering the players to be able to make the student athletes to be able to make the decisions or have the power to make decisions on being able to transfer and being immediately eligible. Now that that is here, and Michigan has had a number of players leave in the transfer portal, how do you think it's being utilized? Is it being utilized correctly by the players? And I'd just like to get your thoughts on the transfer portal and the power that the players now have to transfer as freely as they do.
Yeah, I'm still a proponent of players' families, you know, making the decisions that they think is best for them. And I still support that.
Any concerns that a number of players have decided to enter it? And do you have any plans or how are you shaping your philosophy about looking at the talent that's in the portal?
Yeah, looking at it, looking at it every day. I mean, those that are in, we've contacted several, and I don't know that, you know, we'll see, but you know, we're looking, and that's an ongoing process. So we're looking. That's our philosophy.
I mentioned a lot of the new coaches that you have. You also have some new individuals in the administrative side of things. Courtney Morgan, former offensive lineman here, who has been back for a little bit, is now back with the football program. What does he bring, and how do you see his personality, what he brings to Michigan football, being best utilized?
Yeah, we've been working with him every day, and you know, wealth of experience is what he brings. Also, love for Michigan, and but it's exciting to have him around. He's bringing good, fresh perspectives. So, really happy working with Courtney every day. And he's doing a really good job. I mean, it's something that's very, very familiar to him. He's got a great, great focus and knows what he's doing. So it's been a lot of value added there, John.
I know that this podcast is going to come out on Thursday. Obviously, Thursday night's the NFL draft. Players such as Quiddy Pay, a number of former Michigan athletes will be taken throughout the 3 days of the draft. How much do you get a chance to see of the draft, and how does it make you feel when you see guys that you developed relationships with as high school players? That relationship grew throughout college, and now you see them going on to live their dream in the NFL.
It's an exciting time. It sure is. And we've been, we've gone through pro day here and, had a chance to see some of the guys coming in and out of the, facility and working out, and, they look good. They look ready to go. And, the good thing about the draft is they know where they're going, and it's, they're on their way to take their shot, live their dream. And, so it's all very exciting. And, there's some nerves, that you have as a player leading up to that draft, but as soon as somebody's, and as a coach, you want the best for your guys. But the good thing is after the weekend's over, people have clarity. They know where they're going, and now they're going and they're doing it. So, really been, guys have done a good job putting themselves in position. It happens, and then they've got clarity and they're moving on. But, that's the good news. There'll be some nervousness, I'm sure over some butterflies over the next 3-4 days. But, by the end of the weekend, there'll be resolution and clarity. So that's what it is. But I wouldn't say mixed emotions. It's all good emotions. It's all things that you've seen guys train for, put themselves in position for, and now have a chance to execute.
Well, Jim, I appreciate
before we go on to anything else, just one position we didn't talk about was the tight ends.
Oh yeah,
who led by Eric All, he had a tremendous spring. I know you all know how fond I am of Eric, but he, at that level of training, like Ross and Hutchinson, McNamara, and talent of those guys and Hill, he's a special player there every day. Just eats it up, wants more. Talk about Aiden coming back and all in. This is the kind of guy Eric Hall is. And right next to him is Luke Schoonmaker, who looks tremendous. Looks like a defensive end, and has really trained himself and put himself in a position to have a big year. So those guys to keep going, keep climbing. Feel really good about that. Joe Honingford is now more experienced tight end. Made the switch last fall from offensive line to tight end, and he continues to get faster and quicker, and getting his weight to where he can move quicker and faster. And Matt Hibner really flashed a lot in spring, and then Carter Seltzer, put himself, he's in the two deep and doing things, on special teams, but doing a lot of things at tight end as well. I mean, Carter going into his fifth year, has emerged as a quality player, really fun to been fun to watch his development and growth. So good solid room at tight end as well.
Well, Coach, I appreciate your time. I appreciate your insight into the team and what you saw in spring. And best of luck as you enter the next phase and in preparation for next fall. So we'll look forward to hearing from you again soon.
All right. Thanks, John.
Well, thanks to Coach Harbaugh for giving of his time. I know that there's still a lot of recruiting going on, a lot of film going on, and preparation for what's going to happen throughout the summer. So we thank him for giving us some time to sit down with a conversation and talk to us, talk to you, the listener. And we look forward to getting in touch with him as we get a little bit closer to fall camp. But now I do want to bring in my compadre here on In the Trenches, and that is the play-by-play voice of Michigan basketball. You can also hear him on the Conquering Heroes podcast, and that is Mr. Brian Bush. Brian, welcome in, and sorry we took so long to get to you today, but happy to have you with us now. How you been?
Well, I'm thankful just to have the platform somewhat even with the national champ, John Jansen. If Jim Harbaugh's coming by, I'm taking the back seat. And I thought the interview was great. I mean, I loved it at the very end, too. He's like, well John, we got to talk about the tight ends. He wanted to get everything out about the team. This is an exciting time. It's kind of a checkpoint time in the Michigan football calendar and the college football calendar. You're done with spring ball. You're waiting for fall camp. It's a time to kind of reflect, assess, and I thought Coach Harbaugh did that.
Yeah, he did, and there are phases that you go through as a team. And we've talked about the different phases before, but you have the winter conditioning, obviously. Then you have spring ball, which lasted a little bit longer. And Coach alluded to the pause that they took in the middle of it. And I'm glad they were able to get those 15 practices in, because so many teams didn't get that opportunity. Michigan didn't get that opportunity in 2020. They took advantage of their opportunity and the window that they were allotted to get in all 15 practices and the work that is done in those. But now they're on to that next phase, and that is, you know, we call it summer conditioning and training phase. And while it doesn't necessarily feel like summer in Michigan, that's where they are. And they have an extended time now to get in the playbook, watch film on the teams that they're going to be playing this year and start to build their books, start to build their notes, but also to look at the film that of last year. What didn't go well? What did go well? How can we get better as individuals, as unit groups, as offenses, and as a team, but also to look at the film that they had in spring? And that is the most important thing. What did we do in the defensive install? What do I understand that my coach told me about? What do I not understand? And build that list so that when you do get a chance to talk to, you know, whether it's Sean Nua if you're a defensive lineman, or Mike McDonald if you've got a question about the entire defense, now is the time to address those questions. And it's going to be up to, and I've said this before, we've heard it from Josh Gattis, we heard it from Mike McDonald, and now we've heard it from Jim Harbaugh. It's going to be a matter of what type of leadership do you have from your upperclassmen, from your juniors and your seniors?
Yeah, and let's start there in terms of a defensive leader. Aiden Hutchinson, there wasn't a whole lot that Coach Harbaugh went into that was surprising or eye-opening with the defense. There were a few things that he volunteered on the offensive side, which we'll get to, but the theme and the one guy that I keep thinking about when I'm asked about or trying to ponder this Michigan defense in 2021 is Aiden Hutchinson. I love the story about him saying, wear me out, strength guys, wear me out. He seems like not just a leader, he's going to be a captain, but he seems to be really the face, and he wants to be the face of this program right now.
And he should be, because that's what you need from guys that have grown up in Michigan football, and he certainly has. Dad, Chris, was a captain, a Big Ten champ, so he's lived this his entire life. And to make that decision that I'm going to put my dreams of playing in the NFL on hold for another year, and there's a lot of personal reasons why he did that, you know, and to go out and prove that, you know, whether you thought he was a high second, maybe he would be a first-round pick this year, but to go out there and prove that you are 100% healthy, that you are continuing to work on your craft and your trade, that you can be that franchise, you know, the guy that you want in the first round for a certain franchise. I think all those things are great goals. But what you also hear and you see from Aiden Hutchinson when he goes into the weight room and says, hey, I want you to ring me out and get everything that you can out of me, when he does that, when your captains do that, when your seniors do that, it trickles down to the juniors, to the sophomores, to the freshmen, to the guys that are just getting on campus as, this is how you work. This is how you get better. And to have your leaders on the team show that by example. They can say all they want, but they've got to lead by example, and that's what you're getting from Aiden Hutchinson.
On the offensive side, the praise for Cade McNamara at that quarterback position has been consistent. We heard it from Matt Weiss a few weeks back, now from Jim Harbaugh, as you heard in this podcast, and it has been emphatic. He is the QB1 right now. Of course, there's still plenty of time between today and September 4th when Michigan welcomes Western Michigan to the Big House, but Cade McNamara is the guy right now. He's the person to beat, and by all accounts, he's had a great last few months.
He has, and he's healthy. You see him go out there and operate the offense and communicate with his receivers, with the running backs, with the offensive line in regards to protection and what he's seeing. There's a lot of good things, and I do like the fact that, you know, Jim Harbaugh tempered it a little bit by saying there's not a lot of experience in that room. And I think that was very key in all of us tempering our expectations. Do we want Cade McNamara to go out there and be a superstar? Absolutely. But we're not setting the bar so high that he can't reach it. We've got to go out there and he's got to prove it. He's got to continue to prove that he's QB1 because, as you heard, also J.J. McCarthy is, you know, an early enrollee. He's on campus. There's a lot of expectations for him. He's going to continue to get better. And that competition will drive both of those guys to be excellent quarterbacks. And you have to have exceptional quarterback play if you're going to be successful in college football, not just the Big Ten, but, you know, let's not just say we want to be Big Ten champs. We do want to be in the college football playoffs, but that is, you've got to go out there and prove it. And the first opportunity is still a few months away against Western Michigan. And I also liked that he talked about Dan Valeri and the fact that you might see him used in very unique ways.
Yeah, that's what people have always talked about him. He is an athletic player. You want to get guys who can help you win on the field. Yeah, Taysom Hill-like. That'd be pretty unique. Position group-wise, at the offensive line and at the running back position, Coach Harbaugh gave us more than I think he normally would. And I don't think there's a huge surprise in the fact that on that offensive line, he was willing to put the starter label at this point, the top three on Andrew Stuber, Ryan Hayes, and Zach Zinter. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I think those were probably atop your power rankings of the Michigan offensive line at this point. But to hear that, to know that, I think it helps kind of set the tone for what the other position battles will be among some players who, there's a lot of experienced players. There isn't a lot of experience on the offensive line, but there are experienced players who have gotten that taste who can fit in well with Stuber, Hayes, and Zinter.
And you need those young players, whether it's a Trevor Keegan, whether it's a Nolan Rumler, whoever it is, to step up and play well. And I did see some of that in the spring. And it's time now for whoever wants those last two positions to understand the opportunity that they have. And it's not a competition with other guys. If each individual offensive lineman says, okay, what do I need to get better at as an individual? What do I need to get stronger at if I'm in the weight room? Do I need to work on my condition? Because it's going to be different for every player. But if they focus on improving themselves and competing with themselves, this offensive line will be good, and they will be able to put five guys out there. And what's more important, when I ask them that question about flexibility, is you rarely go through an offense or through a season where your offensive line doesn't have a bump or a bruise, and guys have to miss some time. Who is going to be the next guy that can step up and make sure that there's no drop-off in talent, in performance? And I think that's going to be key as we continue to watch this offensive line develop.
It feels like, you know, Ryan Hayes is probably locked into one of those tackle spots. Outside of that, I mean, you could see Stuber at a tackle or a guard. You could see Zinter at a tackle or a guard based on those other two. Is that fair?
It is. And again, it comes down to your best five. What does that look like? And it could be moving guys around, you know, in terms of whether they're left or they're right or they're, you know, tackle or guard. but you've got to be able to find out who those, what that five is and how they work together, how they work as a unit. And that's going to be the job of Sherrone Moore, of finding those guys out and finding out what that combination is.
Running back spot. You heard Coach Harbaugh say that Hassan Haskins and Blake Corum will get, quote, the bulk of the carries. Also, Donovan Edwards has, as expected, he's a five-star recruit. He's really impressed, and he will see some time. Your impressions on what you heard from Coach Harbaugh, probably outside of that offensive line, he was most revealing about the running back position.
I'm excited to know that we're going to narrow it down. Yes, you need to be able to sprinkle in some of those young guys. And if one of them, you know, finds lightning in a bottle in a game, you then ride that horse. But until then, Hassan Haskins has great experience, and he's your biggest option up there. He's been the one that's been most productive. And for him to be able to get into a rhythm in a game, and then you all of a sudden, you know, Blake Corum is a different style of runner. You want to have the ability to change things up with, you know, not just with personnel groups, but if you go with the same personnel group, but you've got a Hassan Haskins back there who is a more power runner. You get a Blake Corum back there and you sub him in. Now all of a sudden you have a little bit more speed. You have a little bit more, you know, maybe it's the edge. Maybe it's throwing him the ball. There's just different things that you can do with those two guys. So I'm excited to know that, hey, we could develop the ability to have a bell cow in the backfield and those, you know, like we talk about. And I know this is more of a passing game now than it used to be, but those 2-3 yard runs that we see in first quarters now become 4-5-6 yard runs in the third quarter. They become 7 yard runs, and you have the ability to, you know, get into a rhythm, get into a flow, and, you know, capitalize on that as the game goes on.
Some quick hitters on my end that I want to get your kind of final thoughts on the situation. Eric All's drops has not in any way, shape, or form taken away Jim Harbaugh's enthusiasm for that young man. I know he's been a sometimes perplexing and a tease of a player through his first few years in Michigan, but everyone seems to think this guy, if everything breaks right, can be an absolute star. Also, I loved his comments on the NFL draft. You know, it's easy for us and for others who are now outside of it, or, you know, in my case, who have never been involved with that, to make a mock draft and talk about, you know, where's Trey Lance going to go? Where does Penei Sewell go, et cetera, et cetera. But you heard Coach Harbaugh talk about they just want clarity. You just want to know. There's enthusiasm. There's excitement. This is your dream. But you want to know where you're going, because you don't know where you're going to be living 3 days from now if you're in this NFL draft. If you're Kwity Paye sitting there on the first day, you're just seeing all the potential new hometowns for 6 months out of the year at least. So I appreciated that kind of human element to it all. Those were kind of my observations. What else stood out to you based on that conversation that we haven't talked about?
Well, just to dot the I in regards to the draft, and, you know, I get asked all the time, like, what was my draft experience like? And the unknown of where you're going to be. You know, you look at it and you say, in this draft, all right, Trevor Lawrence, he's going to be living down in Jacksonville. Zach Wilson is most likely going to be living over in New York or New Jersey because he's going to be taken by the Jets. After that, and you're talking about two guys out of an entire draft that know where they're going come Thursday night and throughout this weekend. Everybody else is, you could be anywhere from Seattle to Miami to San Francisco. You just don't know. And that unknown is always very unsettling, because some of these guys have family. Some of them have kids. They're going to, you know, try and be, you know, finding places to live. That in and of itself, just when Coach Harbaugh talked about the closure, all right, this is a dream that you've worked for. And then you get one day of great excitement, and then all of a sudden you turn the page and you've got to figure out, okay, I need to get an apartment, I need to get a house, I need to figure out what this playbook is, where do I fit in the scheme, in the depth chart, and so you turn the page really quickly. So it'll be exciting for these young men to have that opportunity. And, you know, I think the other thing that I look at when I think about, you know, what Coach Harbaugh just talked about is defensively, there's a lot of question marks as to what a Mike McDonald defense is going to look like. And, you know, who are going to be some of the guys that stepped up in terms of, you know, he talked about Mazi Smith and Chris Hinton and their ability to gain some size and you know, get in the weight room, and you know what he had to say about Dax Hill. Didn't say a lot, but the secondary, a lot of question marks were raised last year in terms of can Vincent Gray or Gamon Green be the guys at the corner. That to me is probably the number one question going into this year, and it was great to hear him talk a little bit about that.
I'll mention in your draft situation, you were an early second round pick. Remember back then, I think the first three rounds were all on the first day. Could you imagine sitting there on Thursday night, waiting, maybe you're a first round pick, and then you got to wait until the next night to find out? I mean, it stretched out. It's great. I love it as a fan. I think the way they do it now is awesome. But as a player, if you're in that, you know, late first, early second round spot, that Thursday night into Friday has to be interminable if you didn't get picked.
It is. And you know going into the draft, hey, I'm going to be a first round pick. And as the clock ticks away, your anxiety level comes up. And if the first round ends and you thought you were going to be a first round guy, then all of a sudden there's major anxiety. But I was late first, early second. I have always been somewhat realistic in terms of where I thought I would be taken or where I thought I should be. I thought I was going to be a second round guy. So it wasn't a shock when the first round ended. It was disappointing when the Lions made two selections and one of them wasn't me. But I was not surprised when the first round ended and I ended up going in the second round. But there, if you're that late first, early second, or if you're day two, day three guy, that's where the anxiety level continues to raise.
Yeah, that Aaron Gibson's a real jerk.
actually, he's not, but the Lions were at that time. But, Brian, I appreciate your thoughts. We want to say thank you to Coach Harbaugh for all of his time that he spent with us today. As a quick reminder, Conquering Heroes, Adam Steinberg, men's tennis, Big Ten Championships this coming weekend. That came out Tuesday. Make sure you go back and get a quick listen. Defend the Block with Sean D. Brown Jr. came out yesterday, talking about his prospects in the NBA draft, his future. And if you want to hear my breakdown, my mock draft, last week's In the Trenches has that as well. But for all your Michigan football information, you have found the destination to get it done, and we will continue to do that throughout the summer and into the fall right here on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network. MGO Blue Podcasts. The preceding is a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.